Judges chapter 16. I was thinking, I was telling Paul and I was horsing around, we were singing that song. What was that song we sang, Paul, Brother Richardson, like? Yeah, Since Jesus Came Into My Life. Remember Brother Richardson sing it, and we had the piano player, and boy, he'd get on that word roll, and he'd hold that thing out for about 10, 15 seconds, you know, real long. It's hard to believe that both of them's gone, isn't it? I tell you, and went on to be with the Lord. It's hard to believe it. It wasn't that long ago they was standing right in here singing. And he'd do that, and Mrs. Richardson, she'd shake her head. He got excited about it, though. Amen. All right, Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And the Bible says, "And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, already for our fellowship tonight amongst one another. Lord, now meet with us. And I pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. And as we look to your word, I pray that of the just awareness of your presence here, Lord, you know every need, every heart. And Lord, I know without you, nothing's accomplished. And so we ask you to speak to us, whatever our need may be. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Defeated by a Hair. Forgot to give them the notes, so we don't have it on the board. Defeated by a hair. You know, this is a story there where I kind of read off in the middle there, but it's a lengthy story, the story about Samson. Samson was a unique person anywhere, but certainly in the Bible. Only in the Old Testament, only him and Isaac's birth was foretold to their parents by an angel. Samson was actually dedicated to God before his birth. Set apart as a Nazarite. Nazarite had certain vows that they had to abide by according to the Word of God. They couldn't drink wine, they couldn't eat grapes, they couldn't eat raisins, they couldn't touch a dead body, they couldn't cut their hair. And of course, and it was in that day, and according to the Bible in the New Testament as well, still the same way. It's a shame for a man to have long hair, and so what that meant as a Nazarite vow, that the person that was set apart for that was meant that they were willing to bear shame or reproach for God or in the New Testament for the cause of Christ. And so, people would see him. I'd say, you know, Samson or anybody that was a Nazarite, he wasn't the only one. But if they saw a Nazarite, they would see his appearance and just certain things he wouldn't do. They say, look, there's a man right there. There's a man that is dedicated to God. He's set apart for God. So it was something that they saw outwardly, and it's supposed to represent something that was going on inwardly. In Samson's case, he was endowed with supernatural strength. I don't know. I imagine he was probably a pretty strong-looking guy to start with, but that isn't really where his strength came from. It wasn't in his muscles. It was in, not that he wasn't strong, but it was in, his strength came from God. He judged Israel for 30 years, and he delivered them from the Philistines and the problems that the Philistines caused. The Bible tells us that he slew a lion with his bare hands, a full-grown lion with his bare hands. He killed, slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And so we know no matter how strong a person might be, you're not going to kill 1,000 other men with a bone, you know. You'd be hard-pressed to kill 1,000 other men that was after you with a gun. I mean, finally somebody would eventually get to you. So we know it had to do with God's strength. One place in the Bible said at the city of Gaza that he carried the gate and the post and everything and the bar of the gates. He pulled them out of the wall, the city wall, and he carried them for miles up on a hill, up on top of his shoulders, just carried the gate and all and carried it up there. So he had physical strength. His physical strength was superior, but his mental force was weak, and his spiritual power was even less, at times was less than either one of those things. He would do mighty acts of strength, and then he would fail miserably when the flesh was tempted. And so he was easily led astray, which is another one of his problems. He struggled with lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He had issues going on in his life. And he lived about as close, if you study Samson, he lived at one time as close to the edge of the land that God had for him, as close to the world, in other words, as he could get, close to the Philistines as he could get without actually living right in there. He flirted with the enemy, Delilah being a part of that. He flirted with the enemy, thought that he could get away with it, and he thought he was too smart. He even had a little battle of wits with riddles with some of the men. He thought he was too smart, too strong to be defeated. And then finally, of course, you know the story. Delilah kept persisted and persisted, and he finally told her the secret of his strength was his hair. And of course, he fell asleep, and she had his hair all cut off. And of course, then he became weak. Now, the secret of his strength wasn't in his hair. The secret of his strength was in his dedication to God. But that was a part of his Nazirite vow. And by the time that Delilah had his hair cut off, he had broken every other Nazirite vow that he had. He had touched a dead body and all the other things. He had broke all those other vows. And by the time, that was the last one. His hair was the last straw, so to speak. That was the last straw, and that was the last vow to be broken. And when that happened, the Bible says that, you know, that the Holy Spirit departed from him. Now, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament came and went on men as needed, as they needed power to do what God would have them to do. We know we have the Holy Spirit today as a permanent possession. Also, we know that we can quench the Holy Spirit even today, and we can grieve the Holy Spirit even today. And I think it'll come out in my text, but I believe there's people running around that wist not that the Holy Spirit has been quenched to the point of not being recognizable in their life as well. And so we'll see that. Verse 20 said he didn't realize that. And you know, when you think about it, how many people, that I believe there's people that are out of fellowship or never been in close enough fellowship to not know when the Holy Spirit of God is not working in their life. They really don't understand, or they have quenched him and grieved him, and they're calloused, their mind has been seared, their conscience seared, and that they don't know that they're out of fellowship with God or out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so what happens? The Philistines, they were able to bind him now, and he couldn't get away, and they blinded him. They put out his eyes. The usual way was they would take a hot iron out of a fire and just, you know, it doesn't matter if you squinted up your eyes or whatever, they would just burn your eyeballs out of your head, kind of cauterized them, and you were blind, you know, for the rest of their life. That was the way they would do that. And then, of course, they took him and they put him down at the millstone where they usually hooked up animals, and they would go around like if this was the millstone, and they would push it. And they had Samson chained on there, and he was blind, and he was shuffling, and he was pushing around on that millstone, grinding the mill. And they, of course, at the end of his life, they wanted to make sport of him. And you know, and the way those people thought was like, if I defeated you, that meant that my God is greater than your God. And so you can see the ramifications or the significance of this taking place. The Philistines, who had a false god, they worshipped a false god. They thought their God was greater than the one true God because of what happened to Samson. So you see the testimony and the damage that it does to God's cause. And so, you know, it's a sad thing that he lost his strength. It is. It's a sad thing that he lost his eyes, lost his eyesight. But worst of all is he lost favor with God. And for a while, he was made to work for or made sport of by the enemy. You know, that's about the worst thing. You know, it's bad enough like when we fail. It is. I mean, man, it's a disappointment when we fall and we fail and we get out of fellowship with God. It's bad for us. It's when we lose our power with God when that happens. But I'm going to tell you, the worst of all is when we lose our testimony out here in the world right there. And the world is saying, see, look, that God they say they're worshiping, look at that God. He, there's nothing. There's no change in their life. They're no different than anybody else. That God can't do anything. When they see that in us, that's the worst thing that could happen to the cause of Christ. And not only do we not promote the kingdom of God or help the kingdom of God, we're actually a deterrent to additions to the kingdom of God. And so by way of application and in the text that we're looking at today, you know, we see that Samson really represents every child of God, every person that says they're saved, every person that's trusting in Jesus Christ, says they're a child of God, every born-again believer, he represented us in that way because we are to be a consecrated individual as well, a consecrated, set apart That, you know, that's what we're called out of the world. The Bible tells us we're called out, and that, you know, we're set apart. Come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. So we're supposed to be set apart for God and set apart to God as well. That every child of God is supposed to be that, and not set apart by the same outward outward symbols as a Nazarite, but set apart inwardly by the new birth and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit, which results though in outward outward deeds or outward acts right there. So I think that we see some lessons that I want to look at tonight. I just thought this was a good Sunday night message because really kind of applies. I want to apply it not so much to lost people, but to people that are saved. And usually on Sunday night, that's what you have is people that are coming back, you know, to church that are saved. And so just a couple, two or three points, I think three. Number one, we see the consecrated man's strength. Consecrated, set apart, Nazarite vow. Consecrated means to be wholly dedicate or to wholly dedicate yourself to something or someone or to a cause, something like that. Usually it's associated, when we use the word consecrated specifically, it's usually attached to religion, particularly to Christianity. And it means that you dedicate yourself wholly to God. Now, people can be consecrated in a sense, set apart or wholly dedicated to other things. Could be bad things. Could be like neutral things that aren't necessarily, they're not evil or sinful in themselves, but they're not necessarily working with God's, you know, for God's cause or God's kingdom. You can do that. You think about, I like this illustration, works good here too. Samson, if he was a pretty strong guy, you know, all of us, when I was a little boy in the old Hot Rod magazines, I used to get them, look at the cars and stuff. And in the back, they always had a little advertisement in there for Joe Weider. You know, Joe Weider was a famous bodybuilder. Charles Atlas, even earlier than that. If you go back farther, it was Charles Atlas. And they were like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of the day. You know, they were bodybuilders. And they had a little cartoon in there. Some of you remember it. The 98-pound weakling's at the beach, and he's got his girlfriend, and the big bully comes up and kicks sand in his face, and he can't do anything about it. So he goes, and he gets him weights, and he lifts him weights, and he gets strong. And then the bully, you know, when the bully comes up next time, pow, you know, the cartoon showed him punching the guy, and he knocks him out, and he goes home with the girl, right? So rides off into the sunset. So, you know, everybody said, oh, man, you know, I want to look like Joe Weider and all that. The problem is you got to lift all them weights. And that's it. See, we'd all look like that, except you got to lift them weights, Larry. I mean, it ain't lit. It's not pizzas, you know, and liters of Coke. I mean, that's not what you're lifting, you know. It's weights. And so we say, yeah, I want to look like that, but I don't want to. You know, really, those guys, if you ever watched how they go, what they do, what they eat, boy, skinless chicken every day. Every day, maybe a little broccoli, you know. You lift, you know, you eat like that, and you lift them weights, man, and I mean, man, I'm talking about bodybuilders, man. To get looking like that, you're dedicated to that, you know, that one particular thing. How many people say, oh, I'm going to go on a diet. Huh, that's a good one, isn't it? Huh? You already know the failure here, right? I mean, if anybody, we just call ourselves the Samson Project because we have failed. I mean, we're gonna go on a diet, and I'm gonna tell you what: if you're gonna go on a diet, you gotta be dedicated to the diet. You gotta dedicate yourself to not eating all that junk you've been eating. I mean, that's just the way it is. And how many of us, we go down like Samson, boy? All them Delilahs are out there, them little Delilah snack cakes and them little Delilah cookies and them Delilah pies, you know, them things are tempting us, boy, and the next thing you know, we have failed, right? You got to be, to do it, you got to dedicate to that. You know, if you want to be a great musician, oh, we'd all like to play the piano. Don't you wish we just all play the piano like concert pianists? Well, if you're going to play, guess what? You're going to have to dedicate yourself to it, you know, play, whether you feel like doing it or not. And are people that, have you ever been, and you might be one, I know Stephanie, you got a collections of them little tin things. I'm going to tell you what, if you want to collect something small. Just collect something small. But it's got them tin boxes. If you got any you don't want, she'll take them. But, Larry, you don't want any more tin boxes. But you know, I've been fascinated by people that'll collect certain things. Sometimes they get. My problem is I can't decide what one thing I really want to collect that much. I mean, I like them and that, but I just don't want to keep them and have them. But people that do, they are really dedicated to that. They know all about it. They got a bunch of them. And you know, it's just not any one thing. So you don't understand what I'm saying about you to be dedicated to some things like there. And later on in New Testament times, Roman soldiers, you know, the thing, the Marines do this to you. The Marines take the shortest guy, the littlest guy, and they brainwash that guy into thinking that he can take on the whole world no matter how big they are. He believes it. Trust me, he believes it. They break you down mentally, and they build you back up like they want you to do. Roman soldiers in the New Testament, they were consecrated to Rome. They would die for Rome. They said no Roman soldier ever had any wounds in his back. He always had them in there because they wouldn't retreat. They wouldn't run. And so, and Rome became the power that it was in that day because somebody was willing to die for a cause. Somebody was willing. And you know, listen, when somebody's willing to die for a cause, that is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Something to die for is always more powerful than nothing to live for. Something to die for is always more powerful than nothing to live for. And so they were consecrated to that. And you see how Rome went in the world for the amount of time that they did. And so when you think about that, we as God's people, if we would be sold out, if we were that sold out to God, I mean, if we were consecrated, we're going to die for God. We're going to die for the Lord. We're going to be sold out, dedicated, consecrated. Nothing's going to get in the way. Nothing's going to stop us. Just think how powerful that would be in our community, in our church, in our world, in the world that we live in. Think how powerful that would be. I looked over here in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, that's the old heroes of faith. And I saved a little place here. Just wanted to read to you, not all of it, but in Hebrews 11, verse 32, the Bible says, And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You think about all those people, on all those things that happened. I mean, sawn asunder. You know what? Sawn asunder. You know what? That I got the book, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, in my office in there. If you ever want to look at it, and it's got the people that were tortured to death for Christ's name, for his, that they stood. And sawn asunder is when they'd stretch you all out on one of them rack things about as far as they could stretch, and then they'd have a saw and they just start sawing off one of your limbs real slow. You know, let's saw off maybe just a hand or a finger. Maybe they'd start down there small, whack off a few things, and maybe a hand here and an arm, and saw your leg off and all that. Of course, obviously, you're going to bleed to death, but there's better, faster ways to go than this, right? I mean, that was sawn asunder, and you know, the Ninevites, when you're talking about Jonah, Ninevites, they're famous way. They would fillet somebody to death. That's mean when they'd stretch out and just start cutting off little pieces of your skin and meat, just a little bit at a time, maybe on your thigh, maybe on your chest, on your back. Just keep doing that until maybe after an hour they had enough of it off of you where you finally died, nerves and death and shock, and you finally died. That was that lovely little way they like to put you to death. All for the cause of Christ and all for the cause of God. And people would, how did they do that? I'll tell you how they did it, because they were consecrated to God. They were consecrated women and women, sold out. I mean, they had put their faith in, and they were just, they would die for God, sold out to God, sold out for God, willing to die for Him. And the people couldn't understand it. We're doing all this to these people, and yet they still won't renounce their faith in Christ or in God, and they wouldn't do it. You know, you think about that. Jesus, you know, Jesus Himself was tempted by Satan. Satan took Him up and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world. And He said, I'll give you all these. Well, Jesus knew more. He knew He was going to get them anyway. But He said, no, He wasn't detracted from His cause, because He was already dedicated or consecrated to His cause, His purpose. Of course, He was God. But from the human standpoint, you know, He was dying for the sins of the world. And He was set apart for a purpose. And so He just told Satan to get behind Him and take a hike, and he went with it. The Apostle Paul, in reference to temptations, trials, suffering, said in Acts 20:24, He said about all those trials and temptations, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I mean, he said, listen, none of these other things are moving me because I'm sold out, dedicated to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm going to stay on that. And so, you know, we're all supposed to be, we're consecrated to Christ as Christians. We're set apart for God and, you know, what God would have us to do. So we see the second point. The second thing we come to is the consecrated man's secret. What's the secret of it all? What makes the consecrated man strong? You know, Samson, we see at other times, they tied him up a few times. He'd break loose and told you about killing 1,000 Philistines and carrying the gate. And I mean, nobody could do a thing with him. But you know what? When he broke his vows and God wasn't, he had broke that fellowship with God. He was just as weak as any other man. I mean, they came and bound him up, and he couldn't do anything about it, and no matter how big. And so his secret is the same as our secret. It's the same secret right there. As long as he was consecrated, dedicated to God, he was strong. That was it. As long as we're consecrated and dedicated to God, we're strong. I'm going to tell you what, you get away from God, you get weak. You know, all of a sudden, man, I mean, everything that can happen happens. We demeanor changes, our joy's gone, our purpose is gone, you know, and we're frustrated. This, I'm talking about a child of God, somebody that's really saved that gets out of the will of God. Nothing is there. You know, we have nothing there. We don't have any power with men. We don't have any connection with God, not the one we should have. And so what happens? We're strength. God can't use us. God couldn't use Samson. God can't use Samson in the shape that he had got himself into any longer. He just couldn't do it. And so when Samson broke the last vow, then he was blinded out and he was put to the mill. He was lost his testimony. Everything was gone. But as long as he stayed consecrated to God, God could use Samson. He could keep using him, and he had different things for him to do, different things. And all our strength to serve God comes from God. Sometimes we think about this. Listen, and I know we're human, and this happens when we get burned out and wore out and frazzled out. Usually it's because we just putting our faith in our own strength and not in God. That's what happened. Because, you know, we will get tired. I mean, Samson slaying 1,000 men. They said that sometimes in battle, that when the battle was so, I think there's a verse in the Bible where the battle was so hot and the battle was going on that they would hold on to the sword so long. And I know this is true from other things I've read about battle. Their hand was like, it's just got molded to the, it would cleave to the handle of the sword. You had to take your other hand and take it out of your hand. 1,000 swinging a jawbone for 1,000 men, kill 1,000 people there. I don't know how long it took. I imagine it was taking a long period of time to have the strength to keep going doing that. I don't care how strong you are, you weren't that strong, right? And no, it came from God. And so that was the secret, that strength to serve. And what would have happened if Samson had went out without God? He wouldn't have lasted a minute. Probably not a minute. They just swarmed down on top of him. He wouldn't have been able to take care of it. And so, you know, we never think we have enough strength in our own, especially when it comes to serving God. I don't care what kind of personality you have. I don't care what kind of education that you have. I don't care how much training that you had. Listen, you can't serve God like God wants you to serve him in your strength. You can't do it. God's got to be on the scene. God's got to be there. You got to stay. You got to walk with God. And then you'll be where God wants you to be. So we see a consecrated man's secret. And then the third thing, the consecrated man's danger. You know, what's the danger right there? The danger is that the consecration that's set apart, that dedication, may be broken. You notice Samson's hair was shaved off while he slept. While he slept. And I think about that in Christianity today. You know, I don't see the urgency in Christianity that ought to be there. You know, I mean, today, look at the world we're living in today. My goodness, every time you turn around, somebody's being shot. We got lawsuits against Christians, against churches, against godly things. People are, you know, and the Christians are just, the Christians are just, you know, yawning, ho-hum, you know, I wonder what's on TV. You know, prayer meetings are weak at churches. Churches ought to be packed out with people on their knees praying, man. People that have, they have their children. Their children are as lost as they can be. They might have even read where it came up in church. But they're out of church. They have nothing to do with God, and they're out there in the world, and the parents are just sitting in church and yawning and pat their mouth and not worried about their kids, not coming down the altar with tears, praying over their children. That's just away from the will of God. I mean, there's no urgency with that. They're sleeping. They've been duped into thinking everything's going to work out all right. Look at the nation, our nation, the shape that it's in, and country getting farther and farther from God by the second. I don't know how much men have been emasculated, running around looking like women. I told Kyle today, we was watching TV. We got the man bun thing comes on, and am I got a bun up here? Well, then we saw a guy. Remember when girls used to get the pigtails? You get two of them, one on each side. There was a guy on TV with a pigtail. Put them on. Like I said, now what other feminine hairstyle can the men get today to look more feminine than they already look? I mean, good grief. So manhood's under attack, but we don't care. We think it's okay. It's just a fad. It's just, you know, something going on. That's happening. I mean, the homosexual agenda, we see that rampant all over the world, all over our country. Christian values, that are just thrown out the window. Nothing. You can't pray. You know, I was thinking we were talking Wednesday night about the September 11th, that 9/11 thing 18 years ago. Hard to believe. I said, man, you guys are crazy. They said, no, 18 years ago. It just seems like maybe 8 years ago sounds about right, but 18 years ago, 9/11 took place. But you remember back when that happened? You know, there was a good thing that came out of that. When that happened, it wasn't against the law. Nobody ran their mouth about praying in public. Man, you could pray everywhere. They had prayer meetings in Washington. You could pray at university. Nobody said nothing. Now, 6 months later, it was different. But, I mean, right then, you could pray all over the place. But now look at us. And what happened? What do the Christians do? We just asleep at the wheel because we don't have a burden or a concern about the things of God. And Samson was the same way. He was flirting with the world. He was compromising with the world. And man, and Delilah, I mean, how dumb can you get? She kept saying, tell me the secret of your strength. Tell me the secret of your strength. I felt like saying when I read the story, grabbing her up by the throat, what do you want to know the secret of my strength for? What difference does it matter? I'm strong. That's all you need to know. Why do you need to know the secret of my strength? Can't you see that's the enemy? He couldn't see it. He couldn't see that that's the enemy. And she kept on and on and on and on. And, you know, because he just kept flirting so close to the world. See, that's what happens to us. We get so mixed up in the world. Next thing you know, we start making excuses for the world. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. We're wrong. You know, we're narrow-minded. Bigots. What else? I don't know. I can't think of all the things that they do call us. But that's what the world's saying. And listen. We getting so, and Samson, it says, he wist not that the spirit had departed. It's a sad day. Listen, when you're getting so far from God or you've never been close enough to God that you can't tell if the spirit's there or not. How many Christians hadn't got a clue? They can't tell when the spirit is quenched and the spirit's not quenched. They just can't tell it. And Samson couldn't tell it. He couldn't tell. Man, when the Holy Spirit, you know, can you imagine when the Spirit fell on you to have that much energy and that much strength? And then the Spirit departed because of your worldliness and you couldn't tell? That's a pretty sad day. That's a pretty sad day. It's a sad day when you can't tell between a quenched spirit and a full spirit. And God didn't give Samson that power for Samson. You know, Samson, man, you could talk about this guy all the time. He's still, even at the end of his life, still had issues. He just wanted to avenge his eyes. He didn't want to avenge the cause of Christ or cause of God. He didn't know about Christ. Cause of God, but he just said, oh, God, he prayed to God that he would let him avenge his two eyes, not avenge his witness or his testimony or for God's cause. He didn't ask him about that. But God didn't give him the strength to glorify himself. He gave him the strength to glorify his self, God. And so that's what the power's for. Another danger is when a consecrated man changes his purpose in life and lives for himself. He changes his purpose in life and lives for himself. Our purpose is to glorify God. We know that our purpose is to glorify God, and there's lots of different ways to do it. Everybody doesn't glorify God the same way in a lot of different areas. But when we forget that and we begin to glorify ourselves, then we lose our power of the consecrated life. You know what? I was talking about people in, you know, back in the charismatic movement, probably back in the 70s more so. Everybody wanted, oh, they wanted, and in the Corinthian church, they wanted the flashy gifts. They wanted these sign gifts. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues. Everybody wanted to do, you know, everybody wanted to become overcome with this. Why did they want that? They didn't want it to glorify God. They wanted it to glorify themselves. They wanted, what's the point? What's the point of God? What's, blessings from God. Why does God give us blessings? So that we can take those blessings and glorify Him. That's it. But when we just take the blessings and hold them or hoard them and don't use them to glorify Him, why would He bless us? You know, it's all to be glorified, for, you know, for Him. And Samson really used, Samson was vengeful. He got after some men because he lost in the riddle deal. He was vengeful in that. He wanted to avenge his eyes. He had pride. He still had problems at the end of his life. He started worrying about what, you know, like we do. We start worrying about what man thinks instead of what God thinks. He worried about what Delilah thought. You know what Delilah said? Girls, y'all know how to use this one. Girls, they've been using this one for years. You just don't love me. You won't tell me what's the secret of your strength. You just don't love me. She kept on and on and on with it. And he started worrying about her, thinking that he didn't love her. So he finally caved in. You know how to deal with it. He caved in and did and told her that. But he started worrying. He should have been worrying about what God thought instead of what man thought. You remember Esther when a month ago or something, I preached about Esther and was talking about her, and she was in there, and Mordecai said, listen, you got to go into the king. I'm going to paraphrase. You got to go into the king and talk to him because, boy, our people's in trouble. And she said, well, listen, I don't know about going into the king. He hadn't called me for 30 days, and if I go into the king and he hadn't called me, he don't hold out the golden scepter, he could kill me. Mordecai said, listen, I'm going to tell you what, you got bigger fish to fry than that because you are one of the Jews, and if you don't go in and talk to him, I'll tell you what, you know what, our people are going to be in trouble, and you got a greater purpose in life than just hanging out there in the king's palace as the queen. And also he told her, listen, I'm going to tell you another thing. If deliverance doesn't come from you, it's going to come from somebody else. God's going to use it. So he said, you better go in there. And so she did. She went in there. That was it. But she started worrying about what was going to happen to her. See, that's not a sold out, dedicated life. When you start worrying about what's going to happen to you, when you're worrying about God being glorified, that's a consecrated life. When you're worrying about what everybody else thinks or how you're going to be, you know, a benefit, then you're not sold out enough. It's not a consecrated life. And so Samson began to look to himself and for himself, and he forgot about his consecration to God. And what happened? His hair was shorn, his eyes were put out, his strength was gone, his position was gone, and he ended up working for the enemy. He ended up working for the enemy. He's out there grinding in the mill so that the Philistines could eat good. Huh? Man, I'm telling you what, that's what happens. And yeah, I've seen it, man. I've seen people fall away from God, fall out of church. And man, next thing you know, they're out there in the world just as far as they can be. And you wonder, what happened? What happened? I've shared this story with you before, but when I first got saved, there was a fella in my church. He was a soft-hearted guy, and he felt like God was calling him to preach. Man, I kind of looked up to him. I was a new Christian. I thought, man, this guy's got it all together. He could pray, and I mean, you know, just pretty, it would flow, easy going, and felt like God was calling to preach. Every time he preached, he would cry. I was thinking, man, this soft-hearted guy. He decided God was calling him, and he worked for, the company he worked for had another shop or something up by a Bible college up in Maryland. And he sold his house, and they went up, they transferred him. Everything was just, God was working, right? Transferred him up there. He went to Bible college for 2 years, graduated. When he wanted to move back, his same house came up for sale. Bought his same house back, moved right in. I thought, man, this is great. And in a matter of no time, it wasn't just no time, he preached one or two times at our church. And one time we had a revival, and he broke down bawling and said we didn't have a revival and this and that. And I was thinking, what in the world happened? I mean, I thought it was just an okay revival meeting. I wouldn't say it was a revival, but it was, you know how they go. And that guy fell slam out of church, his whole family. The next time I saw him, his hair got all long and scraggly. Man, he wasn't in church nowhere or nothing. And it scared me really bad because I said, if that guy can fall like that away from God, man, anybody can. I mean, I just felt like that, you know. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know that much about his personal life, but it scared me. And I'm going to tell you what, and then the next thing you know, you're out there in the world. And if you're out in the world, you're working for the world. That's just the way it is. Because if you're not a positive testimony for God, you're a positive testimony against God. That's just the way it is. Just one more on that side of the line. You know, when the line's drawn in the sand, what side are you going to get on? God's going to have his, and the world's going to have his, or Satan's going to have his. And what happens is just when you're not with God, you're on the other side of the line. And now you're out there, and you're working for the world. And Samson, one time, man consecrated to God. And I know, like I say, there's Samsons all over the place like that. One time, like I say, consecrated, and but little by little lost their separation, broke their vows, lost their power with God, and the enemy defeated them. And you know what happened at the end? Samson's hair began to grow back as he was grinding at the mill, and time went by. So we know that there was a pretty lengthy time that he was in prison, in the Philistine prison. And they were all having a big party. They had them all. It was an upper level thing, and they were having a big party. And they brought Samson out. They said, "Bring him out. Let's make sport of him. They were going to make fun of him." You know how in the world to do that to you too. I'll tell you this. I shared with you a week or so ago about the guy in the prison ministry. Told me, he said, "Buddy, if you're in prison and you say you're a Christian, he said, "You better walk the walk, because they know more about how you ought to live than everybody else does." He said, "And if you fail, they'll point it out. Look right there. You're not supposed to be doing that." Huh? So they brought him out. They brought old Samson out. They're going to make sport of him. And he had a boy holding him by the hand just to lead him around. He said, "Listen, put my hands up on the column so I can lean on him." And he got between the two big columns that held the whole place up. And he prayed to God once again. I mean, really not to glorify God. It's a miracle God used him yet. But, you know, we're dust. I know that. But he prayed to God. He said, "God, that he might avenge my eyes." He said, "Give me strength one more time that I can avenge my eyes." Not avenge you or to glorify you. And God gave him the strength, though, when he pushed on them columns. And everything collapsed. Killed him, too. So he did die for a cause, even though it may not have been exactly right. But he died, and it said he slew more in that act than he did all during his life right there. But here's the thing. How much more God could have done with that guy? Man, what God couldn't have done with Samson. Boy, if he'd have stayed sold out, I mean, he wouldn't even need, Israelites wouldn't have needed an army. Just send Samson out there to take care of it. Man, I mean, he'd have gone out, just think, if he can get 1,000 with one jawbone, just think what he'd do with two. Or if they gave him a real weapon, just say, here's a sword in this hand and a spear in the other, and go on out there, and he stayed dedicated to God. And he judged Israel 30 years, and just think how many more years God could have used him to judge Israel. If he'd have just stayed, you know, if he could have done so much more. But we've all been called. We've all been called to be separated unto God. And no, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care where you live or what. We're all called. If we're saved, we are called to be set apart unto God. We're not the same as... Why try to look like the world when you're not of the world? Why do we want to look like something else? You don't think... You know, the Jewish people, you can't tell it. I guess somebody that studied it can, but even today. In those days, like, remember when Moses was a little baby and they put Moses in the basket and they set him down by the river? When they went down there and they looked at the cloth, the blanket that he was wrapped in, they said, "He's one of the Hebrew children." There's something about that blanket. I don't know what it was. It was the pattern or something. They knew that he was a Hebrew child. The Hebrews didn't dress like the Egyptians. They just didn't. This is just a practical lesson. They didn't dress like the Egyptians. You could tell one way. And even the men and women's garments, me and you probably couldn't tell them apart, but they could. They could tell what was what. But here's what I'm saying is, we're not of the world. Why do we want to look like the world? That's not us. I'm not one of them. I don't, you know, I don't know, nowadays, it's probably not a very good illustration. But, you know, there's some of those tribes over in some of the, and they tattoo all their faces all up there, look like Mike Tyson. Why do you want to do that? We're not of that. That's not us. We're not of that tribe. We're not trying to, you know, attach ourselves to that tribe. We're supposed to be different. It's okay. I don't mind that. It's all right that we're not of the world. We're not to look like the world, not to act like the world. Why do we want to flirt with it and look like it, act like it, smell like it, talk like the world? We're not of the world. God has called us out. He said, "Touch not the unclean thing. Be separate." Say, "Lord, touch not the unclean thing." He didn't tell us to stay in it. We're out of it. And so he said, be separate. That's the word. That's the word consecrated. Be separate. Just like Samson was a separated, he was separated to God. We're to be separated to God the same way and not have anything to do with the world. Now, you can't do that in your own strength either. You got to have God. You got to have God to be separated from the world. That's what God wants us to do. And while Samson was dedicated to God, guess what? He was strong. It's the same way today with us. While you're separated to God, you'll be strong. And when you're not separated, when you compromise, you start getting weak. Amen? All right. Well, I hope this message spoke to your heart. Like I say, not a real evangelistic message. I think it was more geared up for us as Christians. And, you know, if God spoke to your heart tonight, and you just need to pray about that for strength, listen, God's got it. God's got it. We can all be like Samson on the strong side. We don't want to be like him on the weak side. Amen? And so, you know, you just pray about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.